Well, good morning, Summit family, and all of our friends joining us online. Wherever you're tuning in from today, we want to welcome you and thank you for being part of our service today. I want to again thank our Sean and Amy just leading us in worship week by week and all that's going on behind the scenes. We're just so very thankful to be able to engage in our God through the vehicle you're preparing week by week. Friends, I just also want to say how much I miss you and can't wait to start to see some of you occasionally, perhaps in person. Also, during our message today, I've noticed something that as soon as we begin our talk, our message, that everyone shuts down on the chat lines. And for those that find that distracting, you can turn them off or go to full screen. But for those that want, as a way to stay engaged, feel free to engage in the message. If a point hits you, you know, when we're all together and somebody's, you know, you hear something that strikes a chord with you, you say yes or amen or that's right. You turn to somebody and you nod. So please feel free to continue that. It helps in the engagement for those to whom that is very important. COVID-19 is revealing all kinds of things, and one of the things that I've noticed as Leah and I try to get out for a walk almost every day is this. We have been, people have said hello to us more times in the last 2 months than in the first 20 years of living here. It's been absolutely incredible to see how people are looking now, their eyes are up, they're engaging with people who are walking by. And I think what's happening in our culture is it's revealing how that we have allowed our drive for money and success to steal our focus, our energy, and our time for friendships, for connection. At every life stage, whether we are children, teenagers, young adults, young parents, middle-aged or old age, we all need friendships. We need new friendships to lift our horizon, expand our horizon, and engage, you know, bring vitality and life to us. But we can need to continue those deep, relaxed, faithful, life-giving, understanding friendships. And I just want to encourage us that one of the great things that we can all take away from this is how much friendship means to all of us. We were made for it. God created us for friendship. And what happened when the Bible tells us that humanity sinned against God in the original, you know, setting, that there was a fracturing where our relationship with God was severed and harmed, as was the relationship horizontally with one another. Well, this morning we're looking at a passage of Scripture that is the only place in all of the New Testament, especially the Gospels, where Jesus specifically addresses friendship, his friendship with us, and as we're then going to see, our friendship with others. It is found in the same passage that we looked at last week in John chapter 15. Where he is going to focus on friendship. In John chapter 15, we're going to start at verse 13 through 16, and then later on we're going to expand that to include verse 12 and 17. But this passage of Scripture has spawned many great songs in the past, and for those who remember this, you'll remember some great songs of the faith. I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. Or, Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Or perhaps the most famous hymn ever written about Christ as a friend is written by Joseph Scriven. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Well, this morning in this passage in John chapter 15, verses 13 through 16, we are going to learn about Jesus' friendship with us. And so I would like to read for you the passage in its entirety. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. The word of the Lord. From this passage this morning, we find that Jesus is describing his friendship with us, his followers. There are five characteristics in these few verses about Jesus' friendship with us that we want to look at and highlight today. The first one is this: Jesus pursues his friendship with initiative. Jesus pursues his friendship with initiative. Jesus initiates. He engages in his relationships proactively. He doesn't sit back. He doesn't wait. He actually takes the first step. In John chapter 15, verse 16a, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Now, this was true for the original disciples who became his apostles. He walked around and he found them, sought them out, called them to follow him. But this is also true of all of his followers. We know this. The scripture elaborates on this later on, how God works ahead of us. We love him because he first loved us. The Holy Spirit goes ahead. God works to draw us to a place of friendship with Jesus Christ. Jesus pursues and initiates friendship with us. Now, he doesn't force us. He reveals himself. We are drawn to Christ. He invites us into relationship. But he will not force us. In Revelation 3:20, it says that he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." He doesn't break down the door. He waits for you to respond. And he promises that if you would open the door, that he would come in and he would dine with us. That is, we have fellowship, an intimate picture of having deep friendship as we fellowship around food and dialogue and share life together. Yes, we love him because he first loves us. And Jesus engages his friendship with initiative. He pursues us. The second characteristic that we see about Jesus' friendship here is that Jesus expresses his friendship through sacrifice. He expresses that friendship with us with sacrifice. It's an incredible characteristic. The sacrificial love for Jesus to his friends is very, very evident when you read the life journey of Jesus. And this did not happen only at the cross. You think about Jesus, who existed prior to anything being formed here in the universe. He was with God at the very beginning. But when he came to this earth through his incarnation, where deity became flesh in the person of Christ back in the original Christmas story, we see the sacrifice that Jesus made to make friendships with us. You see how he left all of the glory and the perfection of the heavenly dimension. And he then emptied himself. He just surrendered to become a servant. He put himself out continually during his life for other people. And ultimately, he laid down his life in the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for you and for me. So when Jesus said in verse 13, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends," there was substance to those words because he was living it out. He did so through his entire earthly life, where Jesus sacrificed for his friends. He sacrificed time. He sacrificed energy. He sacrificed convenience and comfort and his reputation. He sacrificed continually. And then finally and fully and literally, as he hung on the cross and sacrificed himself for those who would become his friends. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus' friendship with us, his followers, not only does he pursue us with initiative, not only does he express his friendship through sacrifice, we also read in this passage that Jesus influences his friendship towards life change. You see, Jesus had a profound impact on the people whom he called friends. He was an influencer. I remember when I was a youth pastor telling my youth about this, about how to, you know, be friends with other people. I asked them, are you a thermostat or merely a thermometer? Thermostats set the temperature. They influence the environment. But a thermostat purely reads the environment and goes up or down depending on whatever the environment, you know, what's around in the environment. But Jesus was a thermostat, not a thermometer. He influenced people. In verse 14, we read, Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Now, some may interpret this that Jesus was being manipulating, forcing his friends into friendship by having to obey him in order to become his friends. But this passage is not saying that nor teaching that. Jesus says, "You are my friends." He does not say, "You become my friends by obeying." He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." See, Jesus' friendship is not conditional upon our obedience. His friendship with us is transformational. By being in relationship with us, he will transform us to the place where we will be obeying his commands. You're changed as Jesus' friend. He influences us. We begin to become like him. And instead of doing our own thing, we begin to do his commands because he impacts us and it changes us towards life change. And Jesus' friends, those who come close to him, find this to be very, very true. I read a book years ago on mentoring by Howard Hendricks, and he made this statement. He said, "You impress people from afar, but you impact them up close." And this was so true for Jesus' followers, that as they got close to him and spent time with him, they began to become like him and began to obey his commands because Jesus influenced people towards life change. We are his friends if we obey his commands because his influence is unmistakable in our lives. We read also in this passage that Jesus encourages friendship toward fruitfulness. Jesus encourages his friendships toward fruitfulness. You see, Christ longs for you and for me to become and to do all that God created and all that God planned for you to become and do. And he encourages that. He helps with that. And our deep friendship with him will help produce that. We learned this last week where we said, Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." We are living in vital union with him. We get our life from him. And our friendship with Jesus encourages that kind of fruitfulness. But this was Jesus' plan for his friends. We read in verse 16b, "I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give me whatever you ask him in my name." And we learned last week that this is not a blank check not a heavenly gold card, but rather it is the opportunity to see God answer the prayers that we come to Him in Jesus' name regarding bearing fruit, our character, becoming like Him that spills over and spills out to touch and influence the lives of other people and to serve. You see, part of Jesus' motivation to choose us is to help us to become fruitful, to fulfill the purposes for which God has not only created us, but saved us. He sees our potential for what we will become. And so He says, you can use my name to ask the Father to help you to become fruitful, to ask Him, and He'll do things because I'm giving you my name, my authority, that in me you can go to God just like I do. You can go to the Father and He will help you. And He puts His name on the line to ensure God's help. So the goal of Jesus' friendship is that we become and that we do what God has planned. Yes, He encourages us toward fruitfulness. And then lastly, in this passage, we see that Jesus entrusts His friendship with intimacy. He entrusts His friends with intimacy. He gives a level of openness that is not available to the general public. He gives a level of closeness and entrusts us with that type of closeness and that brotherly affection. There is intimacy and affection and closeness in the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. He tells us about this in verse 15. Jesus said, I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from the Father. You know, if you're really good friends with someone, often you'll have terms of endearment for one another. You'll call them something different. You won't use their formal name. My formal name is Jerry or Gerald. And then that certain level of friendship, people call me Jerry. More intimate friends call me Jer. Some would even have the audacity to call me Jer Bear. But Leah has names for me that none of you call me. Why? Because there's a level of intimacy there and affection. One of our previous pastors, Daryl Mills, to me, I've never known him as Daryl, I know him as Millsy. Of my high school friend, Eddie McCorders Jr., he's BB, a very intimate name, only within his family circles. My good friend Clint Mix, serving in the Western District office, he's affectionately, in my mind, Ned. And that comes from a long history back in Canadian Bible College. But Jesus gives us a new name. So He doesn't call us servants. He now brings us into a whole new level, calling us friends. Friends. He gives us a new name. And He gives us new information. New information. You see, we tell friends things that we don't tell other people that we don't know very well. And Jesus is saying, not only do I give you a new name, friends, I'm going to give you new information. I'm giving you new information. Because I've made known to you things that the Father has told me. I've disclosed it. So Jesus tells us things in this context of intimate friendship. You know, I have had the privilege of being mentored by a tremendous man. I've got a number of mentors in my life, but one of them I met with this week. And I remember as a very young pastor hearing about this man named Sundar Krishnan. And as I heard him speak the first time, I was amazed at how he could teach the scripture. and this Atomic Energy of Canada engineer turned pastor blew me away. I began to have conversations with him at denominational events. I began to ask him a few questions here and there. And then one day I got an invitation to go to Banff with some other young men, and he built into our life about the issue of prayer and ministry. And that began a mentoring relationship over the years where we would meet together in his office, in a little Hindi restaurant, hole in the wall, or even at the food court at Yorkdale Mall, and this past week over Zoom. And he's built into my life, but he said something that grabbed me because I was studying this text. He said to me, "Jerry, isn't it incredible that we pick up where we left off, and our friendship, it's like it just never moved." And it hit me. Sundar calls me friend. And these words were ringing in my ears preparing for this week, and I was very, very touched by that. And he also shared with me information that is not to be public information and will never be. You see, Jesus calls us friends and shares with us things. That's what intimate friends do. So, in summary, the five characteristics of Jesus' friendship with his followers: he pursues his friends with initiative, he loves his friends through sacrifice, he influences friends toward life change, he encourages his friends toward fruitfulness, and he entrusts his friends with intimacy. In speaking about Jesus as a friend, I was reading the book Knowing God by J.I. Packer. J.I. Packer was a giant among theologians, teaching at Regent and other places. And he said this in his book Knowing God: "There is a tremendous relief in knowing that Jesus' friendship with me is utterly realistic, based at every point on prior knowledge of the best and the worst about me. No new discovery can disillusion Jesus about me in the way that I'm so often disillusioned about me." There is certainly great cause for humility in the thought that he sees all the twisted things about me that people don't see. All of the brokenness, all of the pain, all of the less than wise choices. And yet, he wants me as his friend and desires to be my friend. In fact, he gave his life for me in order to realize this purpose. This is the kind of friend that Jesus is. So often we try to come to him and bring our best self, even if it's we're being hypocritical. We try to put up a front even before Jesus. And Jesus sees right through it, and he still wants our friendship. That is incredible to me. So this teaching about Jesus and his friendship for us helps us. It helps us in two ways. First, it helps us to understand and appreciate his friendship with us. I trust that if you've walked through these five characteristics, if you really sit back and think about them deeply, it ought to just help us to appreciate him so much. That our hearts would be filled with gratitude as we experience friendship, that we would worship him for that, and then lean into the fact that we are his friends. Pursue that friendship. Meet with him often. Listen for his voice. Receive from him. Give to him. Let him influence us. Yes, it helps us to understand and appreciate his friendship with us so that we will live an experience of that friendship in gratitude and worship. But another reason why this teaching about his friendship with us helps us, it helps us to apply and to practice his friendship or his model of friendship to other people. To express this type of friendship to others. Now, what's very fascinating about the context of this passage, that verses 13 through 16 would include these five characteristics, are hedged out or framed by a command to love one another. John chapter 15, verse 12 and verse 17, the ones that sort of bracket these three verses or four verses about his characteristics that he teaches about his friendship. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Then he gives this teaching about, you know, about the five characteristics of his friendship, about, and then he brackets it and finishes it saying, "I am giving you these commands." Why? "So that you may love one another." Jesus' example and of friendship is also to serve as a model for us as to how we are to love one another, and one another being his followers, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So, very quickly, just to draw the application, how we love one another, just like Jesus is friends with us. This is how we build our friendships with his followers. We pursue our friends with initiative. Within the family of God, we ought to be pursuing relationships and friendship. Too often, people become part of the family of God and they sit back and they sit back and they sit back and they wait and they wait. And I just want to encourage us that if we're part of the family of God, we should pursue friendships with people. Take the initiative. Call someone. Invite them for coffee. Go do something together. And then you can begin to build a relationship. It just doesn't, you know, start in all of its fullness right at the beginning, but there's a first step. We take initiative. And then we love one another with sacrifice. We express sacrificial love to people who are our friends. It's going to take time. It'll take energy. It'll take inconvenience sometimes. It's going to be sacrifice because true friends actually need help once in a while. It'll take energy. And then we influence our friends for life change. You know, one of the things that saddens me about the church too often is that we only have so many superficial conversations. A sign of a good, healthy family, a church family, is, yes, there is normal daytime conversations. It's not like you never discuss any other things. But there always should include somewhere in these conversations things about Christ, things about what you're learning, referencing, you know, your walk with Christ. And I want to encourage us that we start influencing one another a little more in our conversations. And we encourage one another towards growth, inspire them. You see, this very thing is what prompted me years ago to make a commitment in my heart that I would ask people one of my favorite questions, and many of you know it: how is your soul? I like to ask people, do you feel you're dialed in with God? Do you feel your relationship with Jesus is flourishing? What's the next step in your character development? What is God saying to you? Friends, we can encourage one another towards greater Christ-likeness because our friendships ought to spur one another on toward becoming more like Christ. We should be thermostats, setting the spiritual temperature in one another's lives and not just simply reading what is or isn't there. Our friendships with other brothers and sisters in Christ is that we encourage our friends toward fruitfulness. We want to encourage them to become all that God's made them to be. We want to encourage them to get involved, to serve and use their gifts. We want them to flourish. I love telling people this. My great joy in our church is to see people flourish, to find their spiritual gifts in their areas of passion, and is to use them in a way that fits who they are, and to see the Spirit of God anoint them and bless them as they do things. We want them to flourish. We want them to become fruitful. We don't pull back or we don't get small when we see someone do something better than us. No, we encourage that. We want to see them flourish. And finally, we entrust our friends with intimacy. We entrust our friends with intimacy. Yes, we open our lives to our friends in deeper and deeper ways. I'm so thankful for some of the friends that God has given me in my life. And I can say that we are loving one another in these ways. We're pursuing with initiative. We sacrifice to connect and to meet and to serve one another. We influence one another for greater life change. We encourage our fruitfulness and our effectiveness in life and in ministry, and we entrust one another with intimacy. One of my good friends is pastoring just up the road. His name is Gary, at Valley View Alliance. And Gary and I have made a point, and we made a pact, and we made a decision. We were going to become friends, and we were going to walk with each other through ministry, being so close, and that we would not allow competition to get in the way. And I can say now that almost 17, 18 years later, the last Wednesday of every month, Gary and I have met faithfully. And I'm so thankful for brothers who walk with you. And we sacrifice time. We're all both very, very busy. And we share things and ask us things to spur us on to be better followers of Jesus, more effective pastors. We share things with one another we will not share outside of certain circles. And I'm so fortunate to have made, investments in these kinds of relationships for many, many years. Yeah, it cost me. That's why I fly out to Edmonton when my good friend's mom passed away. I didn't have the time or money, but I wanted to be there for him. We make investments in relationship ongoingly. Gary Inrig, in his book Quality Friendship, The Risk and Reward, made this statement, that the life of union and communion with Jesus Christ will never isolate me from people, and my dependence on him will not make me independent of others. On the contrary, the Lord commands those who are abiding in him to move into relationships and to do so in very deep ways. Friends, the journey of faith is this mind-blowing reality to it, that Jesus Christ himself calls us friends. He gave himself so that his followers would become deep friends. You see, Christianity isn't primarily religion. It's relationship. And Jesus' plan for his relationship is friendship. That we would know him so intimately, and he would know us so intimately, that friendship would mark it. So let me ask you this morning, are you a friend of Jesus? Are you just an admirer from afar? Or have you actually taken the steps to live in union with him and become his friend? And friends, let me ask you this, in the church, are you increasing the depth of your friendship with some brothers and sisters around you? It will add a richness to the fabric of your experience in the Church of God. So I encourage you to take the risk. There are risks in friendship, there's no question. But the rewards are great. I watched a great TED talk recently about the longest standing project or study that's ever been done in the history of the world, actually. It's done by Harvard University. And this study is now, 50 some years old, or maybe even more than that, they said. Five different directors have overseen this study. And they were looking at what ultimately brings happiness in life. And in the conclusion of this study, what they are seeing is this, that actually it's not really money, but actually it is the quality of the friendships and the relationships in people's lives that ultimately leads people to happiness and contentment in life. What COVID is giving us hints at is that this is very, very true. And my encouragement to each one of us is this, that we first establish friendship with the most important friend you could ever have, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. All you do is begin to seek Him. Read about Him in the Scriptures. For example, read the Gospel of John, where this text comes from. And you open up your life to Him. And you put your faith in Him and receive Him into your life. And allow Him to begin to change and transform you. And then you learn more about Him as you continue to journey in faith with Him, and you read more and more of His Word. And He communicates with you by His Holy Spirit, through His Word, through His church. And He will change you. And Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, ever. And then build friendships. The way He treats you, we build friendships with other people. Friends, Jesus has given His life so that we might experience this, and so you can, and so we can in His body. Oh, it's my prayer that this church would be so full of people that are just deeply connected in their friendship with Christ and deeply connected with one another as they apply His model of friendship. May this be true, and may this be our experience. Jesus says, I call you friends. Let's pray together. What a privilege, Lord, it is to be your friend. I thank you, God, that you sought me out and you initiated and drew me into this relationship with you. I thank you so much that you sacrificed your love and your life for me and for others, and for all who would respond to you. I thank you for your influence in my life and how you're changing me, transforming me. And I pray that you would continue to do that in all of us. I thank you how you have a dream for us to become incredibly fruitful, and that our characters would become like you, and that we would carry on your ministry in this world. And I thank you, oh God, that you have invited us into a depth of intimacy as we've gotten to know you more and more, where you reveal things to us. What a privilege, for which I thank you. Help me and help us to build these kinds of friendships with other brothers and sisters in Christ. We need you, Lord, for that. So Holy Spirit, come and fill us and enable us to do so. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.